Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Claudia, aka Miss Copywriter, and today we are joined with Lenora Porter for another episode of Hashtag Women in Tech. We're going to talk to Lenora about her journey into tech, what she's doing right now, and what she has coming up in the future, maybe a little bit of parting advice at the end of all of it. So, Lenora, welcome.
Hey, y'all. How everybody's doing? How's everything going with you?
Oh, it's going awesome. I appreciate us getting an opportunity to actually connect. Finally.
I know.
I know you've been DMing back and forth, so I definitely appreciate you hopping on. So, Lenora, I know you're a UX designer, but for our listeners and our viewers, can you kind of give just a little bit of background of how you started into tech and how you landed in UX?
All right. So, let's see how far back I need to take it. Okay. Let's start from, I guess, elementary school. Mm-hmm. My dad brought my first Nintendo home. And never worked on like gaming or anything until then. Started playing that game, and next thing you know, it graduated from Game Boy to Game Boy Advance to PlayStation to Xbox, and just went just crazy after that. Mm-hmm. Started getting into online games, and from there, I used to play this game called Second Life. Mm-hmm. So Second Life is like an online virtual space that you have like your own second life, basically. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were divorced in this game because they had whole marriages and everything on this game. Yeah, it's a very interesting scenario there. But I learned how to code using the Second Life game. So I always wanted to dress up or dress better than the other avatars, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I know I can make some clothing better than theirs, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I would draw it, and I realized, oh, okay. Now that I got this, I need to figure out how to use this thing called Adobe Max, mm-hmm. and how to create clothing, like mesh clothing. So I'm mm-hmm. like, all right. So I need to make this these clothes and make it into like a pixel form. Mm-hmm. Once I did that, I realized I had to actually code the clothing as well. Mm-hmm. Because in the game, when you walk, the clothing will move with you. Okay. But you had to code that. Okay. And that was with Python. So long story short, learned how to code with Python. Always wanted to be a coder, but school didn't work out at all.
So you self-taught? You self-taught?
Yeah. No, not exactly. Not fully.
Okay.
I went to a coding boot camp. Mm. Learned Ruby on Rails, mm-hmm. and realized Ruby on Rails in Miami was like obsolete. Mm. So I was like, I know coding, but I don't know the right coding. So I had to self-teach myself Android and iOS development, and then I moved on to JavaScript recently. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like pitfall after pitfall, pitfall after pitfall, and then, all right, let me just teach myself because I know enough to know what I need to know.
Right.
And then once I knew what I needed, yeah, it kind of went on from there.
So yeah. Getting into UX design, it just started literally almost naturally, right? Your dad, your
dad. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he started it all. Me trying to draw and copy the characters I see. And next thing you know, moving on to like character design. Always wanted to be like a game designer. Mm-hmm. And then that slowly but surely translated into this whole UX thing that I didn't know about before.
Yeah.
Until I went to college. And I went to college for this thing called Family, Youth, and Community Sciences.
Okay.
And that's all about creating services for the community to help the community. Mm-hmm. But then if you really think about it, that's the same thing as helping an application and helping users use the application. You have right. to understand that user in order to create this application that is user-friendly.
Right.
I didn't realize those things kind of went in line until I got into the field, and here I am.
So where are you today in UX? I know, but for the viewers who don't know, what's your career look like, and who are you working with in the UX space?
Definitely. So I transitioned from UX to product design.
Okay.
So the difference between UX and product design is just one thing, coding. UX is more user experience psychology. UI is more the visual designs, the way it looks. The UX is the how. And the product design is meshing all of those, but also knowing code as well.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like that unicorn right now.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm knowing the UI, the visual design. I'm also knowing the UX psychology because I went to school for psychology. Mm-hmm. And then also the coding because of the coding bootcamp. But I mean, at the same time coding boot camp didn't teach me what I needed. But anyway, that's another topic for another day. I'm doing that right now. I work at Heroku/Salesforce. Heroku was acquired by Salesforce in 2011, I believe.
Okay.
It's been 2011, yeah. So Heroku is its own little entity within the Salesforce platform. And Heroku is this development environment that helps companies scale with a few clicks of a button, basically. That's my job. With that role, you work with developers all the time, and your users are developers. So you have to know how to code in order to design for them.
Right.
So that's what I do.
So do you find it sounds like you're in a very cohesive, maybe a team-like environment. Do you find that you're the only female, let alone the only black female, or do you have like a good mix with the company culture?
So this time around, all my other jobs, I was always the only female, definitely only black in the whole company. This time, I feel like my boss made a very wise choice in her hiring. She wanted to make sure she had women and, you know, men. And then I'm thinking I'm her first black hire. Not exactly sure though, but from what it seems like, I think I'm her first one. Okay. Just based on the different cultural dynamics I have to explain. I'm sure I'm the first one.
Do you find, as far as just the sound, like you said, it sounds pretty integrated. Are you finding any challenges with, not necessarily getting the work done, but just obstacles as a female in this space, kind of saying, this is what I own, this is what I do, this is what I'm good at? Or I guess, what's that dynamic look like for you?
Definitely. So right now, I've been placed on the abuse squad, which is like security, cybersecurity. And my job is to design for security or defending the platform. There's a lot of different things that's going on with the platform that's not a part of our culture or our mission. So it's up to me to create these little designs that make sure that someone doesn't abuse our system. With that, because I've never designed for a bad guy, I'm always designing for the good guy. I'm kind of like, oh, okay, let me sit back and listen to what everyone's saying, because I've never designed for bad guys before or bad people. So right now, I think certain things I can't say, oh, I own that. You know, I'm just like, no, I don't own that yet.
Yeah.
But there is certain aspects that one of my partners is, you know, telling me, he's like, yeah, I like the way you are not lost in ambiguity. You kind of like own that space. I'm not good there. So it's like, I let you handle that, because you are the one that asks really good questions. You're the one that knows everyone and goes around. I'm only 3 months in. I don't know anybody, but I'm that kind of person. Say, hey, I'm Lenora. I'm new.
Yeah.
And I want 5 minutes if you got me time, you know? And from there, it's kind of like, but I don't do that, Lenora. I don't go out and communicate. So I love that you do that. So for me, right now, I think I own that space. I own the discovery space where I'm discovering what we need, and then I bring it back to him and say, okay, this is all they said. These are the things we need to really focus on. This is MVP. This is future. Right. And let's create something from there. So I think right now, that's what I own.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense, especially if you're just starting out. It's definitely one, getting your footing, and then two, fitting in and kind of making things work for, I mean, and I'm sure as you progress, it'll definitely be something that it's second nature for you.
Oh yeah.
So I do have a question, because I know you have, aside from your job with Heroku/Salesforce, I know you have another project. You're a co-founder of Dev Noir. Do you want to talk a little bit about what Dev Noir is and how that came about?
Definitely. So I went to Afrotech last year and man, I was just like, whoa, wow.
Yeah.
Like speechless. When I went there, there was this sisterhood and brotherhood that I've never seen ever. Definitely not in Miami, around the tech space. And I remember going to an event that was like Black Women, no, Sister Circle is what it's called, Black Women in Tech. It's a Facebook group. And I went there and I'm like, okay, never been here before, but never even been to San Francisco. But let's just come to this meeting with these Black women and hopefully they like me, kind of thing. And they're like, oh my God, Lenora. I'm like, wait, huh? You know? Oh, we saw your name on the meetup and we're just saying hi. And I'm like, oh, okay. Hi. From there, it was just like, wow, like the conversations that they were having, the camaraderie, the one girl, I think she didn't have a job or just left her job. And another one was kind of like, oh, we have an opening here at this big, large company. Wow. Girl, give me a resume right now. And I'm like,
what?
How do we have that? Like, what is this? Let me fix this headgear thing.
No
way. So yeah, I'm just like, wow, this is crazy. I would love to have something like that in Miami. Just to even know who else is in this space, at least. I don't know anybody else. And I went home and I'm like, hey, who, like, do you know another black UX designer in Miami? And everyone's like, you? I'm like, no, that's the problem. Do you know another one? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh no, we gotta change this. And I'm like, do you know other black engineers? And they're like, oh, about five. And I'm like, okay, let's create a space for us. Yeah. And I was thinking, because I did talk to a few of the members in San Francisco. I'm like, hey, do you think Dev Color, because Dev Color is huge in San Francisco. It's like a black Dev Noir, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm asking, hey, would you like to come to Miami to start a little chapter here? I would definitely be okay with that, blah, blah. And they're like, Miami has tech? And I'm like, okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. You're not the one for us. Like, you won't even know how to work in our space. Like, you're so used to big tech corporations and big opportunities and big sponsors. We don't have that here.
Right.
It's going to be very hard for you to help us. You know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
I need to just create Dev Noir and just go from there. So I started talking to different people about it and just seeing how people felt. And one guy, his name is Jay, or Jeremiah Sias, he was just like, oh, I already created a Slack channel. And I'm like, wait, huh? I was just trying to tell you how I felt. And I'm like, no, let's do it. And I was like, oh, so let's make a Twitter, let's make Instagram, let's make. And from there, it was just like, oh. And he was behind it the whole way. And it was just like, let's push it, let's get together. Right now, we're about 80 members.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Honestly, yeah, like in Miami is a tech desert. That's what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami's tech is not mainstream tech. It's hospitality. It's healthcare tech. Mm-hmm. It's those boring techs that no one wants to be a part of. You know? You have to know these old languages just to even get your foot in the door. You can't come in with JavaScript or Ruby on Rails.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly but surely, they're starting to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's hard in this industry, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like Dev Noir was a way where at least we can know other black people in like Office Depot, or because you know Office Depot is here, or Magic Leap, or different little companies like that, where we could slowly but surely get our footing through our people that's already in there, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So that's why honestly I created it.
Yeah.
And then also to push each other's brand.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's three levels to Dev Noir. There's exposure, there's personal brand, and there's community.
Mm.
We need community. Like, we need to be able to, girl, this is what happened yesterday. You, can you believe this lady did that? You know, I like to have conversations like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I like to push my personal brand. So it's kind of like, if I know another girl that's in design or whatever, I'm going to post her on my page because I'm like, I have more followers. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. I knew this was going to happen. Sorry.
That's right. It's a real conversation. That's what it is.
Yeah. I'm like, I know this girl. She's a great designer or whatever. I know these people need design, link up or whatever.
Yeah.
And because of this new remote position I have, which honestly, I didn't even think would have happened to be able to work in Miami, but basically work in San Francisco and having a big backing, but you're in a small little town. I'm like, y'all, I unlocked it. Let's go. Let's do it like this. We can still stay here and live here and, you know, support our economy and build the people that's here, but with somebody else's money, you know, not money. Let's do it, y'all.
Yes, yes.
That's really why I was like, wow, everything's falling in line. Everything's working together. I'm going to help the whole community. I'm ready. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Now, what's your vision for Dev Noir as far as, I know we're coming up on a new year here. What is your vision in terms of growth or reach, or is it just Miami based? Like, what's your vision for Dev Noir?
And so when we went to Afrotech this year, we had about 12 members. And last year, remember, I went to Afrotech by myself, and I am not going to Afrotech by myself this year, right?
Yeah.
So to look back and see 12 people from Miami living in your same neighborhood, mm-hmm. playing in the same dirt you played in, like, I was just like, yeah, this feels good. Yeah. From there, when people kept seeing us together in these clusters all the time, going in each little thing together, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, what do y'all do, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we're part of Dev Noir. And they're like, what's Dev Noir, you know? Mm-hmm. From there, we met so many other people in tech deserts, like Alabama. There's a guy who's there. A few tech deserts in Virginia and all these little places that no one knows tech exists, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that point, I'm kind of like, we may need to expand because mm-hmm. we do have something good mm-hmm. and people are like loving it, especially mm-hmm. because we're going to white tech conferences together in a group. Mm-hmm. Our first tech conference was Collision in New Orleans.
Yep.
And that was kind of like a mini go together. You know, you're going to feel uncomfortable, but because we're walking together, we're good.
Right.
And go into a space that aren't really used to us, honestly.
Right. Right.
And it was definitely like an eye opener because when we walked in, everyone's like,
where y'all coming from?
What is this stuff? We've never seen this. And the locals were like, yeah. So they're like, yeah, go in there, you know? And I was just like, yeah, we going. Just to empower other people that you didn't even know you're going to empower.
Right.
And I felt that way in Afrotech, seeing people that's from other tech deserts really loving what we're doing. I'm like, okay, number one, we have to expand. Mm-hmm. Number two, we need a website. That's another thing I should have done a long time ago. But mm-hmm. I was just so focused on, I have a Slack channel. I don't care. But mm-hmm. other people want to know about our things too. Everyone mm-hmm. else is like, I will come down to Miami just to go to a Shut Up and Code. And I'm like, oh, all right, I need a website. And I need a calendar behind this, and I need to have a mailing list. And I'm like, this is turning into a business. Mm-hmm. And I really thought it was just going to be maybe like 10 of us in the group, and it's like 80, and it, people everywhere else wants to be a part of it. So I'm trying to create this. I'm trying to see what other people want. I don't want to just build something and say, be like Ford. Oh, they'll come. No, they won't.
Absolutely.
I want.
Absolutely.
I want to see what other people are saying. So Instagram is my way of seeing what other people want, because recently everyone's been like, where's your website? And I was like, okay, need a website. And then mm-hmm. one girl was like, I need to see your calendar. I want to see what you're doing tomorrow. And I'm like, I need a calendar. Like every time someone says something, I'm like, write it down, because people are asking. So
absolutely.
I want to wait until the users tell me, and wait until people that's interested let me know what direction I need to go in, because I don't want to just jump the gun.
No, I mean, it's very, it dovetail very nicely into the whole user experience. So,
yeah.
So definitely you could tell they're hand in hand. Now, one of the things I did want to ask you about, because I know you're building this community, it's definitely something that is very near and dear to your heart. You have your UX product manager that you're doing with Heroku Salesforce. Kind of, just to kind of give us a little takeaway, what is something you would tell either a younger Lenora or a younger girl today who would want to get into tech?
All right. So one of my, okay, can I give two things?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So there's something I'm struggling with right now with Dev Noir. Mm. There's a lot of men in the group. Mm. I can probably count on my hand how many women are in the group. And I'm just trying to figure out how to bring more women in. Mm-hmm. But then I also heard from different members that I don't feel comfortable being around all those men.
Mm.
Or I feel intimidated, or the way they approach me with the, oh, so what do you do? Not, hey, what's your name? You know,
mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm.
those kind of things.
Yeah.
I have to figure out how to deal with the males in our group and the way they approach women.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't know if that's going to be a conversation or that needs to be like this whole, I don't know. I don't know exactly what I need to do for it.
Yeah.
But there are some issues even with our own group where we need to figure out how to respect each other. and how to welcome each other and not do this whole, oh, so what do you do? Oh, that's not good enough. You know, I need to try to figure out how to make some ground rules in the group. So that's going to be that one topic that I feel like as Black women, we need to figure out how to even work amongst our own Black men. And also how to work amongst men as a whole, because everyone's not going to come to you with this, hey, what's your name? How is everything? Oh, you're so cute. No one's going to come to you like that. Right. And we need to get, I don't want to say we need to get like this tough skin or anything, but we need to be a lot more open to different people and the way they interact. Everyone's not going to be cuddly. And not to take offense to it. Because I can't save the world and I can't make sure every moment you're always protected. The only thing I could do is make sure that I'm there with you in case anything falls. All right, let's go, girl. Let's do it.
Right.
But I can't have you taking offense to every little situation. Now I have to go and put out this fire, that fire, this, you know?
Right.
So being a superwoman in scenarios, we need to stop that. So that's number one. I think I'm just taking on way too much. And I'm just trying to do too much. And I feel like, yeah, there's an issue, but some of those issues are not your issue. And know when to jump in and put out a fire and when not to.
Right.
That's a problem. Anyway, number one. Number two. If you don't see the life that you want created, oh my goodness. I wish I would have told myself that so many times before. I mean, I've told myself, but I was waiting on school or waiting on someone to give me opportunity. And when I got out of that, where it was kind of like, and you know what got me out of that, honestly?
What's that?
An eviction notice on my mom's door. I was like, oh, I don't have time to wait. I don't have time to sit there and be like, yeah, let me wait for this person, that person, or this opportunity, or the school to open up and teach me how to code, and I don't have to pay for a college. Oh, let me wait. No, there's online resources. There's ways that you can put yourself on your own curriculum. Everyone's not going to teach you the way you understand.
Right.
And I realized that I understand visually. You can't just put a whole bunch of code on a page and think I'm going to be like, oh, so this, I don't know. I can't. You have to visually explain to me what you're doing. And a lot of teachers don't teach like that.
Right.
And you have to take it amongst yourself or take documentation or take different notes and use different resources. Don't just focus on one school or one resource. Look at different resources to teach you the bare minimum. And then from there, you can figure out what all that code means.
Right.
But you have to take it step by step and piece by piece. Break things into parts until you understand the whole picture. So I think number two is definitely, if I don't see what I'm looking for, create it. And creating it means looking at a whole bunch of resources just to find that one thing is like, I get it now, you know?
Exactly.
And it's going to take that. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I know that was long, but.
No. I mean, it's, you're absolutely right. I mean, that, I think that's something that a lot of us can relate to where we're in certain situations that, just is not what we want to be in per se. And yeah, you're right. Unless you take the action to change it for yourself, it's not going to change. It's not. That's powerful. So I want to say thank you, Lenora, for coming on. Appreciate it. We definitely have to do a little tag out somewhere in 2019 and see what's going on. But I definitely enjoyed our conversation. Guys, I'm going to drop a lot of those links below. We talked about Deb Noir. We talked about Heroku Salesforce. We talked about Lenora, just her journey. I'm definitely going to link below to a lot of those things so you guys can definitely contact her. Slide in the DMs appropriately, as at the Black Techie would say. Slide in them appropriately.
That's right.
Right? So, Lenora, I'm going to wrap us. I want to say thank you again for joining us here on Hashtag Women in Tech. You guys can go to misscopywriter.com/WIT to check out the rest of Lenora's interview. And again, Lenora, thank you, and we will be chatting again soon.
Thank you. Bye.